good to be with you this afternoon. It's good to see all of you that could come out, and we're thankful that the weather was not any worse than what it was today. You know, we've had a lot of weather here and other places recently. Drill and I were just in Florida a few weeks ago, as many of you know, before we went. The hotel that we were staying in called us to see, are you still coming? And they wanted to also let us know that they had power. And because a lot of people were canceling their reservations thinking that they were in bad shape, and they were assuring us that they were fine, and if we could get there, everything was fine. And also, you know, since Ethan went to Florida College last year, we're still on some of their mailing lists, and you know, they also were mailing out things prior to the storm that, you know, we're monitoring this and everything is fine, but then later you get an email saying, you know, we're in a state of emergency here. And so, you know, these things can kind of turn on a dime. And one of the things that causes a lot of issues when you have a storm is not always the storm damage, but it's the power going out. I know that's something that we don't want to happen. That's really one of the first things I checked when I came here this afternoon, is that we still have power, because I can't have a sermon without PowerPoint, right? So there, we've got our power button. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about power, or restoring the power. You know, if you were one of those that thinks God is speaking directly to you through a scripture, I saw an article recently where a preacher down in Florida in the Fort Myers area said he opened up his Bible during the storm and read Job 26, verse 2. And if you turn and look at that, it says, Job answered and said, how have you helped him who without power? That is the scripture. And so I know that he was making a joke. That's probably not the first thing that he came to, but it was very appropriate at the time to think about that, because power was a scarce thing there for a period of time in that area of Florida. Now, Job was not talking about Floridians, of course. He was actually talking to his friend, Bildad. And we'll say more about that later on in the lesson, but, you know, it certainly seemed to be appropriate at that time. So, electricity is a wonderful blessing, and we really notice it when we don't have it. And so, a couple of thoughts about that. First of all, is we realize as Christians, or we should, that God is the only power that we can possess. You know, and really, what we see in the world today when it comes to power, electricity, we're really using what God has given us in the first place. You know, who was, you know, credited as discovering electricity is Benjamin Franklin. Now, he didn't create it. You know, we all know that he tied the key to the string on the kite and he discovered electricity, but he didn't invent it. And when you look, and Ethan can correct me on this if this is wrong, because I know this is very simplistic, but when you think about the power that's contained in a single cell, what I understand about that is that you have electrons and you have neutrons that are being attracted and repelled. And that's really the power that inhabits us, inhabits the cell. It's really, you know, kind of like electricity. And that's the stuff that we're made of. And I know that's simplistic, but you know, we have those kind of things in our possession, even if we don't understand them. And certainly when it comes to God and His Word, there are things that we have access to that we don't have but just a meager understanding of. In fact, the psalmist states this many, many times. In Psalm 62, verses 5 through 11, the psalmist says, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge.
and we need to understand that. In verse 11 it says, God has spoken once, twice I have heard this. This power belongs to God. Also in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 through 31 that was read for us this evening, that whole passage is talking about the power of God and what that means. It starts out by saying, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth. And just a side point, you know, there was a time when a lot of people thought the world was flat. And this talked about the circle of the earth. And so that's always been interesting to me that here it refers to the earth as a circle. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. And as you go on through this passage, it talks over and over about things that we consider to be very important. Things that we consider to be very, very powerful in our world. But it's saying the contrast is it's really nothing. That God is the one that has the power. He is the one that has the strength. And one thing that crosses my mind when we read a passage like this is that we can get put in the dark pretty quick. You look back just a few weeks at what happened down in Florida with Hurricane Irma, how quickly things changed. I already referenced what happened at Florida College because, you know, there are a lot of parents concerned about their 500 kids that are down there and do they need to come home? Are they safe? You know, what's going on in Florida College? So, you know, we're looking at the storm. We're you know, keeping track of it as much as we can. So they're relying on, you know, whoever James Spann is down there to tell them what's going on. And so they're limited in their knowledge. Because then the hurricane moved. It started doing something differently. And then they put out a message that, you know, we have our dorms on lockdown. Nobody's allowed out. We've got them in the strongest buildings. We've got them away from rooms with windows, those kind of things. Because things got real serious real quick. And so we understand that. We understand that when we hear sirens go off. When my family moved to Columbus, Georgia, you know, I was just probably about third grade, fourth grade. And a Saturday afternoon at noon, I heard the air raid siren go off. You know, the tornado siren go off, because I knew what that sounded like because they had those in Cordele, Georgia, where we used to live. And I'm looking around for the tornado, you know, and it's clear day. And what I found out is every Saturday at noon, they tested the system. And so I was panicking, but there was nothing going on. But when that sound goes off in the middle of the night, everybody pays attention to that. Or they turn on the TV or they get on their phone and see what's going on. So my point is that we have very little influence over nature. There's very little that we can do except, you know, sit back and watch what happens and try to be as prepared for it as we can. Because God can put us in the dark pretty quickly. And we are powerless before the natural processes of this world. We can test things. We can study them. We can try to predict them. You know, people try to figure out why certain things happen. And they usually can't figure that out. In the end, what happens is we submit to what happens. Because we don't have a choice, right? We don't have a choice but to submit whatever the weather brings our way. So we just have to wait and see. One of the things that's interesting about the Bible, though, is that we see many of Jesus' miracles focused on being controlling of the natural forces. And we can't control that. You know, there's been a rumor around for a long time that Disney has the ability at Disney World to control the weather. And why anybody that's ever been there would think that when it's 100 degrees and 100% humidity that this is what they would do if they had control of it. You know, they don't have
control of it any more than anybody else does. We can't control the weather at all, but Jesus could. In Luke chapter 8, verse 22,
Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying one to another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." I imagine that last night or this morning, as it got windy at your house, none of you ran outside and told the wind to stop. "I want you to stop this right now." You may have gone outside to see what was going on, but you didn't go out there thinking you could do anything about it. But Jesus stilled the winds that no man could tame. Other things that he did that were miraculous, he produced food. What do we need to do to produce food? We need to take it out of a box, out of the refrigerator, put it in the microwave? No, something has to produce that. It has to grow. The food is made of something, or it grows up as an animal. But Jesus produced food out of nothing and fed those who were hungry. That would have taken men, seasons to produce. He opened the eyes of the blind. He restored strength to legs that could not walk. Yesterday, Jarrell and I were driving to Aniana and to see Brendan in his band competition, and we passed by a church, and it was called the Healing Church. And I looked at that church, a pretty big building, and they had handicapped spaces. And I thought, well, it's not working, But they don't have the power to do anything supernatural. Jesus had that power to do that. So Jesus had control over the natural forces. They're really a constant reminder to us of the inability that we have to control the world that God has given us to inhabit. When I was growing up, this will show my age, and some of you will laugh at this because you'll remember, but this was back in the day when natural foods like butter were not considered to be good, and so they were trying to encourage people to eat margarine because it was going to be better for you, and Mother Nature tasted it and thought it was butter, and she made it thunder and lightning. It's not nice to fool Mother Nature. If you've ever had margarine, there's no fooling Mother Nature on that anyway. But that was the idea, that it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. Well, today we often tell ourselves that we shouldn't fool around with, quote, Mother Nature. But, the reality is we don't have much control over what God has placed us in. The God and Father of our universe. And my understanding of God's Word is that this impotence that we have toward our environment is because of sin. Not my sin or your sin personally, but the presence of sin in existence. I imagine that Eden was pretty much hurricane-free and earthquake-free and suffering-free, but that all changed. And now we live in the world that is described as groaning and travailing and anxiously waiting for its redemption. And the prophets often, depicted God's judgment on sinful nations as a coming storm or a flood that could not be turned back. Isn't that interesting? Because that sometimes, was a judgment. And sometimes those things were predicted, like in the case of Noah. And sometimes today people try to say, well, this is a judgment, or this is a judgment, or this one's not a judgment. And really, unless we have a prophetic word attached to an event that God has revealed to us, then we can't really say that. But the point I'm making is that you have all of these instances throughout Scripture where people point to these natural things as being something out of their control, something that's fully in God's control. Another lesson that I think that we can learn from recent experiences is that when power is restored, it's a time for joy. I don't know how many times you've been without power for an extended period of time, but there's things that you can't do when you don't have power. Number one, you can't watch TV. Isn't that horrible? Number two, you can't keep your cold things cold anymore. And you can't keep your house cool. And you walk into a room and you instinctively flip on the light switch. I don't know how many times I've done that when power has been out. Walk into a room and flip the switch and nothing happens. Some of you may remember several months ago there was a man that visited here from Fort Myers, Florida. His name was David Schmidt. And he preaches down in Fort Myers. And so he was affected by this weather a few weeks ago. And he wrote about that. And I thought it was something we could learn something from. He said what he was going to do if power had been out after Irma for a little while, he knew that the food in his refrigerator was going to go bad. And he needed to do something about it. So he's about to move his refrigerator so that he can get it into a position where he can plug it into a generator. And as he's trying to move the refrigerator, the light in the refrigerator comes on. And that's before he plugged it into the generator. So what did that mean? It meant that the power was back on. And there was great rejoicing. And he literally said that he literally went out into his yard expecting everybody in the neighborhood to be shouting with joy. He said nobody was there. But what he noticed when he went outside is he could still hear people's generators running. Why? Because they didn't realize that the power was back on yet. And the longer that he stood there, he started hearing less and less of that as people realized, hey, we've got power now. We don't need these generators anymore. And he said he wanted to run from house to house and proclaim to everybody what they wanted to hear. And of course, he was making a point in his article that he had news, good news that he wanted to share. And what he really should focus on proclaiming is the good news of the gospel. And certainly that somebody that is without power can realize that having it back after a period of time is good news. So people realize that the darkness was soon going to be replaced. The darkness would be replaced with light on everywhere. And he said the neighborhood was just a totally different place after that. If you've ever had power go off in your neighborhood and you go outside at night, it's kind of a spooky thing, isn't it? That there's not a light to be seen everywhere. Or, you know, like in our neighborhood, the lights will be out on our street and the street next to us has power. So it doesn't seem to be the opposite. Usually it happens that way. But it's a great thing when people can access power, and certainly we can make a spiritual application about that we can access the power that God provides. So some applications about that. When Jarell and I were going down to Florida, and then we got back from Florida, and then we turned around and went back to Georgia, we saw a lot of the same problems, a lot of the same devastation. And when I say devastation, you know, there are trees down, lots of billboards were blown down. And, you know, we weren't there when there were streets that were flooded and didn't see that kind of thing, but I know that kind of thing happened. But one thing that you really did notice is that people were helping other people. The church that we worshiped at in Orlando, when we worshiped there that Sunday morning, it was the same week of the hurricane, you know, just behind that a little bit. And I think it was the first service that they had since that had happened, because there was debris and there were things, there were stacks of things that hadn't been cleaned up yet. And the announcements that they made certainly had to do with that situation, because they were announcing that this sister needed some help cutting down a tree, and there were other people that needed needed some help. So what you saw is that people were working together to try to help each other to recover from that. And that's a great thing. And that was just a small microcosm of what you saw in the whole state and what you have seen in the country when you have a natural disaster like this, that there are many, many people that will get together and try to take care of those needs. Even if they're people that didn't particularly like each other before that happened, people will work together and help with those kind of things. So it's interesting that when there is a need like that, sometimes people will overlook those differences. But when it comes to the real power that we want to talk about, the power of the gospel, we live in a very divided society today. And we've had some other types of disasters that have gone on in Las Vegas this past week. And it's interesting some of the things that people will say. In fact, there are those that express their sorrow and their desire to pray for others. And there are those that have gotten mad at people praying. And that's been one of the things that has greatly surprised me, that how can you argue or how can you criticize someone that says that they're praying for you? And the idea is, on their part, is that, well, praying's not enough. There's other things that you need to do. Well, that may be true, but you don't stop praying. You should pray more specifically that some things can be done. But the point here is that God provides great power to us, and there are a lot of people that want to ignore it. Ignore the power of God. God gives us the power to forgive. He gives us the power to sympathize. He gives us the power to persevere, whether it's some kind of extreme physical loss or a loss in your family. And certainly we've had a lot of things in our congregation in the past year or two where people have needed each other and have really shown kindness to one another in the face of adversity or problems. And when you see that kind of power on display in times like this, it's very impressive. And it is a time to rejoice when you see people taking care of each other in that way. The greatest privilege that God's ever provided to us is the ability to be His children and to be like Him. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." And what's very sad, and we made reference just a minute ago to people that didn't have power, but then they did. What if they didn't realize that they had it? What if they didn't realize that they had power? They didn't take advantage of it. Hurricane Irma knocked out power to as many as 16 million people across the southeast, according to estimates. I don't know if you can see the difference in these two maps, but the before one is taken at night by satellite, and it shows where the ambient light is, where the artificial light is. And this is after, just minutes after the hurricane. So you see what the lights look like from the sky before and after. And so you can see right there that there are very few lights left. And there was a great deal of power that was out. Now, what happened here in the last 24 hours, and I didn't know that you could do this until today, but you can go to Alabama Power's website, and it will show you where the power outages are in the state. And as of 3:30 this afternoon when I printed this, there were 51,000 households, roughly, without power. And so that's what happened. So 16 million in Florida versus, and I'm sure that there were more out than this earlier today, and Alabama Power has done a good job of getting people's power back on. But the point here is that there are many people spiritually
that need power that they have access to, and they don't take advantage of it. They have the power of God's mercy available in their lives. So, you know, you can imagine hooking up a generator to your house. You flip the breaker in the box, and you never realize that the power is on until you see that your neighbor's lights are on. And the illustration I want to draw out here is that people are still living on generators, not knowing that there's a real source of power. Like what we talk about with the prayers. Many have prayed during these storms, and many have prayed specifically for power when they didn't have power. And when you consider what to pray about, you know, look at Colossians chapter 1. Paul talks about power here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so what Paul was praying on behalf of the Colossian brethren is that they would have the power of God versus the power of darkness. And so we need to be strengthened in His power so that we can, you know, have the long suffering that we need and also have the joy in our lives to deal with these things. If you want to return back to Job 26 just for one more point, when Job he's countering Bildad's assessment of what Bildad thinks about Job's life, and he describes the character and the ability of God. In verse 10 of Job chapter 26, it says, He drew a circular horizon on the face of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at His rebuke. He stirs up the sea with His power. And by His understanding, He breaks up the storm. By His Spirit, He adorned the heavens. His hand pierced the fleeing serpent. Indeed, these are the mere edges of His ways. How can a small whisper we hear of Him? And how small a whisper we hear of Him? But the thunder of His power, who can understand? So this is a very poetic type of statement that Job is making. We really are powerless when it comes to comparing ourselves with God. And the words here where it says, by His understanding He breaks up the storm, is very interesting. When Hurricane Irma, came to be and came, hit the shore of Florida, many people were amazed that it lost as much power as it did. It still did a lot of damage, and don't want to diminish that, but it really wasn't what they said it was going to be. In fact, it seemed like a lot of the newscasters were kind of disappointed that it wasn't as bad as what it should have been. And that was a great thing. And people that didn't lose houses and didn't lose property, didn't lose lives, were very thankful for that and should be very thankful for that. And if you look at what Job said, when we see something like this, look at what he says. And by His understanding, He breaks up the storm. The pillars of heaven tremble. We are astonished at His rebuke. He stirs up the sea with His power. These are the mere edges of His ways, and how small a whisper we hear of Him, but the thunder of His power, who can understand? Job is saying, it's all His. It's all His power. And so, what we need to do is realize that we have His power in our lives. We don't have the power to control nature, but we have the power to control some other things. Because He's given us the power of His Son. By
understanding that power that God has given us through His Son, and realizing that Jesus died to pay the price for our sin. He rose from the dead to make intercession for us. We can submit to that and access what is really the greatest power in the world. We spend a lot of time obsessing about things that we can't control. But here's something that we can control. We can control our destiny because of the power of God and what He has done for us. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Let's take advantage of that power. And any time that we have a situation like this, you know, we'll be reminded of our smallness and God's greatness. But we can also take comfort in the fact of what God has done for each one of us. If we can help you in any way to be obedient to the gospel of Christ this evening, we'd invite you to come as we stand this evening.